Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome to the Bible study series, Building a Covenant Community. This is study number 7, Be Fervent in Spirit. It's based out of Romans chapter 12, verses 11, and the middle part of verse 11. The Christian life is not meant to be lived in a cold, formal manner. Rather, the Christian life is meant to be lived passionately with a deep desire to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Those things which enhance our love for God, congregational worship, Bible reading and Bible study, Christian fellowship and prayer, while all duties for the Christian are not meant to only be done out of a sense of duty, these disciplines which deepen our devotion to Christ are meant to be done willingly, gladly and fervently. The word fervent is the Greek word zeo, which means to be hot, boiling, earnest. Based on James chapter 5 and verse 17, how did Elijah pray and that was different to most people? Well, James 5:17, which is the passage that talks about calling for elders of the church and coming to receive prayer from them, and in verse 17 it offers the encouragement, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. So Elijah prayed, the scripture says, fervently. I guess as a group leader, this would be an ideal opportunity to ask, well, what do you think that means? What do you think that looked like? When someone prays fervently, what's the difference? What's the difference to them just praying, and what's the difference to them praying fervently, and ask people for their ideas on this. It's a really important discussion point, because it tells us that, as C.S. Lewis kind of indicated, prayer doesn't do that much to God, but it does a lot to us. And in moving us toward fervency, it's making us more dependent on God, and it's our acknowledgement that we are dependent on God as well. The next question two, if most Christians obeyed 1 Corinthians 15:58, what effect might it have? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Well, if we did that and we were able to serve God with a heartfelt passion, as it says there, abounding in the work of the Lord, abounding, that would have to make a huge difference on what happens on a Sunday when we meet as a church, what happens when we meet as a Bible study group, if we're here to abound in the work of the Lord. And I think this is one of the modeling challenges for any Bible study group leader, that your passion, your enthusiasm for God, for His Word, to study His Word, to come together, to pray, is contagious. And you set the tone of the group. So, group leader, make sure that as you're talking about fervency and passion, and you'll hear the inflection in my voice even as I say it, it comes across as something that has gripped your life already. And this is a part of leading a group, that you're able to do this kind of thing. So throw it around, see what the group has to say to contribute to this discussion, and see where it goes. All right, the next question, question three. Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8:7. You notice that 2 Corinthians is written 2 Corinthians, but I always say it as 2nd. Corinthians. That's why when it's in a sentence, I'll actually write the number second, or the ordinal or cardinal, whatever it is, as second, and then when it's in brackets, I'll use the abbreviation of the numeral too. Anyway, it's just by the way. That there were certain things they needed to excel in. List the things he tells them to excel in, and discuss how believers could do this. So 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, But as you excel in everything, now here's the list of suggestions that Paul has. As you excel in everything, and I think there's something to think about there about the role of excellence in how we serve generally, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, so there's three things, in all earnestness, four things, and in our love for you, five, see that you excel in this act of grace, there's six, also. Now, what this is a good context question. You could ask the group, what is actually the context of this verse? What is it that Paul is referring to when he says, excel in this act of grace also? Well, it was in reference to the offering that was being taken up for the impoverished believers in Jerusalem. And as Paul was traveling around asking people to support their brothers and sisters back in Jerusalem, he was taking up an offering. And he is pointing out that as you excel in giving toward this offering, that this would be an act of grace. So believers were to excel in those six areas, and again have a discussion about that. And perhaps the question that you might follow on from that, and you know, these questions are a bit of a guide for discussion. The question that you might follow on from that is, which one do you struggle with? Which one do you find to be the biggest challenge for you personally as you are looking at what Paul says, you know, these are the areas you really should excel in? Question four, from later on in this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 22, how do we know that Paul regarded enthusiasm, which is variously translated into English as fervor, zeal, earnestness, as such an important quality for those who serve within the church? So 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 22 says this, and with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever, because of his great confidence in you. All right, so let's consider this. And again, you could look at the context and see that Paul was sending someone based largely on their passion, fervor, zeal, their earnestness. They have more earnestness now, the apostle says. So why is that? Now let's think about it. Why would Paul want somebody who was really zealous, really fervent, really enthusiastic about the mission of working with a local church? Well, because it is contagious. It's just a principle that the leader is the one who sets the spiritual tone, the spiritual temperature in any organization, and especially in a local church. It's one of the reasons why I express deep concern when people claim that they are just under the leadership of Jesus. They don't need an earthly leader. I find that to be firstly usually false. Usually there is a leader and it doesn't take long to figure out who it is. And then secondly, it actually conveys some element of mistrust, and perhaps there's been a history of hurt or abuse, and this is a negative reaction to it. All right, we've got a statement here. Enthusiasm, don't fake it, faith it. So leaders, you need to learn that there will be times when you won't feel like doing anything in particular. You won't feel like it. And that's when you got to step up. And I know that people say, well, if I can't be real and be honest and be transparent, then I'm just not going to do it. And I'm going to tell you now, that is foolish. That is absolutely foolish. Every husband knows that when, you know, the family's under financial pressure and you don't know where the money's going to come from to pay the bills and so on, you don't convey that worry and anxiety to your wife or your children. You actually model confidence, quiet confidence, even though on the inside you may not know how you're going to get through this. But that's something that you have to filter from those that you're actually leading, and the same in church. That you have to display a confidence without straying into arrogance. Be very, very careful about that. So that's what takes faith to be enthusiastic at times. Question 5, what can happen to others in a church if someone is full of zeal or fervor? Note 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. Well, we've been talking about this, and hopefully we can begin to see that there is an infectiousness about being enthusiastic, being fervent and zealous for the work of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:2 says, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has," note this, "has stirred up most of them." So there we have a biblical example of how someone else's zeal and passion was able to contagiously infect someone else positively. Question 6. Based on Ephesians 6, what motive should we have for our fervency? So based on Ephesians 6 and verse 7, what is the motive? And I hope that as you're allowing the discussion to take place, perhaps there's people who are who perhaps have lost some of that zeal that they should have. And as we look at these scriptures, let's see if we can incorporate this into our time of prayer at the end of the meeting as well. Ephesians 6:7, in the English Standard Version, it says this, "Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man." The NET Bible, N-E-T, New English Translation Bible, "Obey with enthusiasm as those serving the Lord and not people." So from the will, an act of your will, doing this willingly, gladly for the Lord, because that's who you're doing it for. Not man, the Lord. Trust you're enjoying these studies, and we'll be back with our next study in this series, How to Build a Covenant Community, when we look at Serve the Lord. That's study 8 coming up in our next installment.